Two men in a six pack starts in 3, 2, 1. That's all I can say. Look, we're recording right after the finish of the Duke-Kansas game. Trevor, what do you think, man?
Go Jayhawks, baby. That was awesome.
I'm going to tell you, man, that was actually a great game. It would have been a really good game if Duke would have won, but it was a really great game that they lost. I love the fact that it was tied up right at the end. Duke had a chance to win it, and I'm just going to say it. Bitch boy Grayson Allen missed the shot at the end of regulation, so left the door open. So with that said, we're going to move on. Listen, guys, we're starting our third episode of Two Men and a Six Pack. We got two episodes under our belt. You're going to see a few different things this week. We've really taken listeners' feedbacks and your input, and we're trying to improve the show each week. So hopefully you'll see some of the tweaks that we've implemented. Remember, you can find us on SoundCloud, and you can find us at iTunes. All you have to do is search for Two Men and a Six Pack. Subscribe to either one of those. Rate us and review us. You can give us 5 stars. You can give us 1 star, but we prefer for you to give us 5 stars. Mm-hmm. And you can give us some reviews. Tell your friends. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram. Tweet us on Twitter. Just all that social media stuff. Thank you tonight to our sponsor, Hungry Howie's. They brought us over some food earlier tonight. Mm-hmm. Pretty good food, Trevor.
I'm full.
You're full? Uh-huh. I am too. Hungry Howie's, they got 2 locations serving us. One on Gum Branch Road near the Lowe's Food Shopping Center there. And they got one on Freedom Way in Midway Park at the end of Highway 24 and Piney Green where they meet. Thanks, Matt and Dan Cross. So, Trevor, you ready to get at it?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right, here we go. First item of business, on this day in sports, March 25th, on this day in sports, 1668, long time ago,
yeah.
First horse race in America took place on what is now Long Island, New York, 1668.
Hmm.
1972, NCAA Men's Basketball Championship, UCLA beats Florida 81-76, UCLA wins its 6th consecutive NCAA championship.
That's dominant.
John Wooden. 1986, I know you'll appreciate this. 1986, Olympic ice skater Kurt Browning from Canada becomes the first skater to land a quadruple jump in a competition. Did you know that?
No, I wasn't born yet.
Okay. You weren't born in 86?
No.
I was graduating from high school in 86. Wow. 1995, boxer Mike Tyson is released from jail after serving 3 years for rape.
He should have went back to jail for biting Holyfield's ear off in, 97?
Yeah, 97. He should have went back to jail for getting that tattoo on his eye.
Oof, that is ugly.
That was ugly. All right, let's move on. Final four. We're going to recap the Elite Eight games real quick, each one of those. Then we're going to talk about the final four matchups. We're going to kind of be winging the Villanova Kansas matchup. But let's talk about the Florida State Michigan. You want to talk about that first?
Yeah, Florida State. I think they came out sloppy. The first 4 minutes, they just looked lost.
Yep.
Honestly, they played way better teams than Michigan in ACC play, but honestly, they just looked lost. I don't know what the deal was.
Then they got it together. They came back. They have their like 12-man rotation.
Right.
They got back in the game. Been a lot of criticism by the media over Leonard Hamilton's coaching the last 5 minutes, really the last minute of the game.
I agree.
Your thoughts? Okay.
There was 11.4 seconds left, and they don't even try to foul down 4 points. They didn't make an effort to foul. They just let them dribble it out with 11 seconds. That's a long time in basketball.
That is a long time. I think Florida State had reached their max.
Yeah, but they might miss. They might miss those two free throws.
That's a good point.
Get the ball and make it a 2-point game or whatever.
Yeah. Michigan's a better team. I think the better team in the end ended up winning the game.
That's fair.
Loyola Chicago versus K-State, Kansas State. Your thoughts?
They hit, 50% from 3-pointer, 9 for 18, 17 assists to Kansas's 9 assists.
Ben Richardson.
Yeah. What do you have?
22, 23.
I know he was 6 for 7 from three.
Yeah, he was stroking. I mean, he stroked it.
Yeah, senior.
Yeah. Loyola played as a team. They made Kansas State. Kansas State has a great defense. They made the extra passes. They made Kansas play defense. Kansas State played defense. Mm-hmm. And Kansas State was really never really good at playing from behind. If you talk to anybody that really follows a lot of Big 12 basketball, I don't, but in listening to a lot of people talk, Bruce Weber is really methodical with his offense. They play at a really kind of methodical pace. Mm-hmm. And when they have to play in a hurry or play at a fast pace, they're just not very good at it. So I think that just caught up with them last night.
Loyola's just fundamentally sound.
They're fundamentally sound.
They look good.
Absolutely. Villanova, Texas Tech.
Texas Tech was the last team I have, period, in my bracket. That's it. And they lost it for me.
You know, it was in my opinion, Villanova was the best team in the tournament. It was an ugly game tonight. Not a typical Villanova win.
Right.
They didn't shoot the ball very well. I think they shot 33% from the field. They shot a little over 16% from three-point range. But they out-rebounded Texas Tech 49-27, and they had 19 offensive rebounds.
That's the second chance points.
Second chance points is what kept them in the game. And they just grinded out. They found a way to win.
Oh, yeah.
Villanova can play fast. They can play slow. They play defense. They can't. They're just, in my opinion, best team.
They'll be in the national championship.
Well, we'll talk about that. Kansas. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let's move on.
Yeah.
Kansas Duke. We talked a little bit about it. I mean, ooh, do we really need to say anything else?
My heart's still racing.
Mine is too.
I feel like I was there.
Great game. I will go ahead and tell the listeners this. The folks we were watching it with, they said, are you more excited when Carolina wins or Duke loses? That's really a toss-up. I really honestly cannot tell you which one. But I'm just going to tell you this. To recap, if you missed the opening 15 seconds of the show, bitch boy Grayson Allen misses a shot that could have won it for Duke in regulation. Grayson, good luck on the end of Seton Hall's bench as assistant coach next year. That's really all I can say. So let's move on. So let's talk about the matchups now. Loyola, Chicago versus Michigan.
I think Loyola's got a real chance, honestly. I don't think Michigan is that dominant. I think Loyola's going to win.
You do. Okay, we're going to differ here. The thing, I'll give you some. So Loyola reminds me of Butler several years ago. 2010, Butler played Duke in the national championship. They play as a team. There's nobody that's playing for Loyola that's going to be playing in the NBA.
No.
But they play scrappy. They play hard. They play great defense. They're efficient on offense. But to me, Michigan's bigger, stronger, athletic. I don't know. I think the big difference may be I don't know that Loyola has anybody on the inside that can cover that German guy. I would pronounce his name Wagner, but because he's from Germany, they pronounce it Wagner.
They got that freshman. The freshman from Loyola, he can't move like that, but
he's big. Yeah, offense. Yeah. I just think Michigan is going to come out and they're just going to take it to him. But I think the game is going to be. I mentioned Butler, 2010 national championship. Duke played Butler. You know, the final score of that game was 61-59, Duke won.
Mm-hmm.
But Butler had a shot. It was just inside the half-court line. It almost went in. Yeah, it rimmed in and out.
I remember that.
So I could see a game being close like that again. You with Sister Jean, you just can't count them out, man.
That's true.
That's how it is. Next game, Kansas and Villanova. Thoughts?
Oof, that's going to be a good one. If what's his name? Not Zambuki. What's his name?
Zambuki. The white guy.
No.
The kid that went crazy tonight.
And dunked it like 12 times on the backdoor screen. As long as he doesn't foul out, it's going to be a good game. I still think Villanova wins.
Yeah, I just think Villanova. I don't know. I've never been a really big Villanova fan. Probably because a couple years ago when they made the shot to beat the team that we pull for. And I'm saying that, folks, because I told the crowd that we weren't going to mention the team that we pull for. We weren't going to mention their name tonight. So we'll just say 2 years ago when Villanova made that shot to beat the team we pull for. But, you know, just watching basketball this year, Villanova, you know, just like I said earlier, they can run up down the court. They can play slow. They play great defense. The Brunson kid, and you'll hear me mention his name later, he's a great, fantastic college basketball player. Won't play in the NBA, but he is a great college basketball
player.
He's
a hustler.
I think that game will be the national championship game. I think whoever wins between Villanova and Kansas will be the eventual national champion.
I think either one of those teams will walk all over Michigan and Loyola.
I agree. So one more thing, and this is an interesting take, one more thing about the tournament that I want to talk about, and I'll talk about this really quickly. I read an article last couple weeks, kind of interesting. 3 or 4 weeks ago, before the tournament kind of kicked off, and it was maybe right before the conference tournaments were going, there was an article, there was some folks talking about how this year's tournament was going to be tainted because of the FBI investigation and all the guys that were exposed for taking, you know, supposedly taking money, all the coaches that were involved in this and that, and how this year's tournament was going to be kind of tainted. And I think if you fast forward 3 weeks, I think everybody has forgotten about that.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
They just want to watch the tournament.
They just want to watch the tournament.
That's it.
See good basketball. This, in my opinion, has potentially, not because of the historic ramifications of the 116 game. There was a lot of upsets, but not only upsets, but there was a lot of close games.
The game we just watched.
There's just been, during the tournament, the game we just watched, yeah, the first weekend, second week, there's just been a lot of really close games. I mean, I think this has been one of the most entertaining NCAA tournaments that I've ever watched.
They did a great job putting the teams together.
I agree.
Like seeding the teams.
Yeah, I agree. So I just think it's interesting, just a little take differently that, you know, how 4 weeks ago, Jalen Rose, ESPN commentator, was calling for the players from the college basketball to boycott and walk out of the NCAA tournament. He actually called for that to show the power that the college players had over the NCAA. Thank goodness they didn't listen to him, and they kept playing. And last 3 weeks have been pretty entertaining, and I'm sure next weekend and next Monday night will be entertaining too. So
that'd be great.
Anyway, all right. On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. Moving on, next topic. Want to get your thoughts, Trevor, on this. D1 head coaching job changes. In the last couple months, I don't know if you realize this, but there is close to 40 Division I head coaching job vacancies that have become available across the country. Now, these range from UConn, which we know, of course they just filled it, Louisville, to the University of Incarnate Word. They're the Cardinals. The University of Incarnate Word. They are a Division I school from San Antonio, Texas. They're in their fifth season playing at the D1 level, and they play in the Southland Conference. So big schools, little schools, schools you've heard of, schools you haven't heard of. Danny Hurley's going to Connecticut. It's rumored that Chris Mack is going to be leaving Xavier, going to Houston. Penny Hardaway of Memphis Tiger fame, NBA fame, is going to his alma mater, Memphis. Is it your alma mater if you don't graduate from there? I mean, I know you go to school and you play basketball there. I'm not so sure Penny got his degree from there. But anyway, that's the school where he played basketball. Tom Crean, former IU coach, is coming out of the commentary booth or studio booth, and he's going to be the new coach at Georgia. And then Kermit Davis. You need to remember that name. Kermit Davis. He's leaving Middle Tennessee State, and he's going to Ole Miss. He is a heck of a coach. He's done some really good things at Middle Tennessee State, and I think you'll see him do some good stuff at Ole Miss. Still got some job openings. University of Pittsburgh, East Carolina, a little closer home here.
I might apply those two jobs.
Well, there's a chance, and I think there's a rapid fire question coming up that may address you and the East Carolina job. So we'll get to that. So with that said, I want to know what coach you think is going to have the biggest impact this coming year at their new school, or next basketball season at their school.
I like to see Penny Hardaway. See him do something. He assistant coach in high school for 2 years and 1 year head coach, and then straight to college. That's pretty strong.
Yeah, no college experience.
No college experience whatsoever. But he's a player.
He's a player.
And there's not a lot of times where people get to play in the NBA and then go straight to coaching. Straight to coach at college that quickly.
Yeah. And I think he brings still kind of sort of the name factor. You know, he's obviously he's been real involved with the high school team. He has an AAU team. Mm-hmm. So I think maybe his connections with all that, of course, he's going to have to discontinue his association with the AAU stuff. But I think his past association with that will lead to, you know, I mean, it to me, it'd be like Shaq going to coach somewhere.
Right.
I mean, people
exactly.
remember Penny and Shaq. They don't remember, you know, somebody that played, you know, 30 years ago. These kids have no clue who Phil Ford is. Unfortunately, they have no clue
right.
who Phil Ford is. But they just don't remember these guys. They remember the guys that they've seen playing, you know, on YouTube, you know, YouTube videos, or they've seen playing in the NBA, and that's, you know, that's Penny Hardaway.
It's going to bring recruits.
Exactly.
They all know that Penny has a way to the NBA because he was there for, what, 12 years,
yeah.
13 years, 93 to 07, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And that's a gateway to the NBA.
Next question. Let me ask you something about that.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something that just philosophically, I think I have a problem with. Should players be able to transfer to a new school and play immediately and not have to sit out a year? So mm-hmm. so say Danny Hurley leaves Rhode Island and goes to UConn. If he's got a freshman or sophomore player that's playing there, and that guy wants to go play for Danny Hurley, he's got to go sit out a year right now,
right.
and he can't play immediately. Why doesn't Danny Hurley have to sit out a year? Why does this kid have to be penalized? Because, I mean, let's be honest, 9 times out of 10, a kid's going to go to a school, he's going to go play basketball where he's playing because of the coach.
Right.
That's the, you know, I mean, that's, whether good or bad, that's a fact. So you're penalizing this kid for wanting to transfer schools to go follow the coach that recruited him
mm-hmm.
and who he likes. So just tell me your thoughts on that.
Well, I mean, if you get 5 guys in high school that go to separate colleges, but they're all real good friends, all D1 athletes, and say 4 of them end up not playing at all, but they got 1 guy at Middle Tennessee State that's starting, and he's like, hey, coach, I can get my 4 high school buddies to come play. Bring them on. They all transfer to Middle Tennessee State. Now they got a top 5 program just from shooting a text message to his friend saying, hey, come play with us.
Yeah,
that would give the coach no time, or the athletes leaving the school, it would give the coach no time to figure out who his team's going to be, what he has for next year. Maybe the kids would be leaving left and right.
Yeah, I see your point, but I think in the day of trying to do what's best for the student athlete, the coach is making big money. I think you're kind of creating a double standard. So you and I are kind of disagreeing. We're agreeing to disagree a lot on this podcast today.
That's fair.
Okay,
I'm right, but that's okay.
You're right. Okay. Well, we'll go from there. Okay, next segment, Hometown Heroes. This is one that I've been really looking forward to this week. We just want to highlight a couple of area coaches that have been recognized this week and have done some outstanding things in our community and across the state, actually. First one, Tony Marshburn, Northside High School men's basketball coach. He was just named this week as the North Carolina High School Basketball Coaches Association's Coach of the Year. Tony's teams the last 2 years won 59 games in a row. He won the 2A state championship last year, and he lost this year. Northside moved up
mm-hmm.
due to realignment, and they moved up to 3A. They lost in the 3A state championship this year to a Cox Mill team that is loaded with 4 D1 prospects, and
yeah.
they lost in the last seconds, heartbreaking loss. So the last 2 years, Tony 59-1. Your thoughts on Tony and just what he's accomplished at Northside?
I used to play against him in high school, and I went to Swansboro, played against Northside, and I always hated playing against them. Always. They had a great defense. They were always in your face, full court most of the time. And every single time you drove the lane, there was someone trying to take a charge. They weren't trying to block a shot. They were taking a charge. And as soon as they took a charge, their entire bench would scream, charge!
Wow.
And the referee would have to stop what he's doing to...
Basically tell him to sit down?
No, to think about what his call is going to be.
Oh, you're saying before he made the call.
Yeah, okay. The whole team is screaming charge.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So the referee's kind of thinking, is it a charge? Everyone in the stands is screaming charge, or... seven kids on the bench screaming charge at me. It was tough to play them all the time.
Tony, I mean, he's proved his worth. Great. Great coach. And all I got to say about that is, good job, cuz. All right, next one. Buddy Carroll, White Oak High School, men's and women's soccer coach. This past week, Buddy won his 500th high school soccer game. He started coaching the girls, the women, in 2003. During that time, he's gone 273, 69, and 20. He started coaching the boys in 2002. His record there has been 227, 132, and 24. Now it gets really exciting. Buddy, since 2003, has won seven state soccer championships. He won his first year as the women's coach in 2003. 2004, he won the men's or the boys' state championship. And then he ran off a pretty impressive streak starting in 2006. 2006, 2007, 2008, and 2009. He four-peated, four in a row on the women's side.
That's a lot of winning.
Yeah. He had some pretty good players during that time. He had a girl named Stephanie Rose, and he had a player named Shelby Carroll that were along with, you know, just a host of other really good players. But I think Tandy Banks was on one of those. She was maybe like a junior or senior. She was on at least one of them or two of them. And then Buddy came back again in 2012 and won another state championship.
His first year back?
Not his first year back.
I was like, wow.
Yeah, no, 2012, he came back and won another women's championship. Buddy also, he graduated from White Oak. Buddy was also on the 1998 men's soccer state championship, and they won the state championship in 1998. So Buddy's been associated with eight state championships in soccer at White Oak during his time there. So
wow,
that's pretty impressive.
Yeah,
that's awesome. I don't care who you are, that's pretty damn impressive. So anyway, all right, studs and duds. Let's move on to studs and duds. You want to tell me, go ahead and give me your stud of the week, and then okay, I'll give you my stud. How about that?
I got a stud, which is, this is it's going to be different for me, but Dwight Howard. I'm going to tell you why.
I think I know why, but tell our listeners.
30 rebounds in one game versus the Nets.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
He's got 900 rebounds single season franchise record for the Hornets, which is pretty solid.
Pretty solid.
Right. I mean, he is 6'11".
Yeah.
But, side story.
You blocked a shot.
I could. If I ever see him in person, I will.
Okay.
I promise you that.
Okay.
So the principal of my school that I coach at sent me, his son, and two other guys to a Celtics-Hornets game. And I'm getting everyone, you know, excited for the game. I'm saying, hey, Dwight Howard's going to have probably like, you know, 20 dunks. Celtics don't really have a center. All they have is Kyrie Irving, which is pretty good.
He's not bad.
He's pretty decent.
Considering, I mean, he played like four games at Duke, so I don't really give any of the credit to what he's accomplished in the NBA to any of his time at Duke. So no. Go ahead, man.
Anyway, so we're at the game, getting ready to start, and Dwight Howard's warming up with three-pointers, and he is making them, which I'm just really surprised by in the first place. But so the game starts, no dunks. Second quarter, no dunks. Third quarter, no dunks. Fourth quarter, not a single dunk. He might have had like a easy putback, didn't hang on the rim. So I go on the Hornets Instagram page and write, Dwight Howard is softer than wet Charmin tissue paper.
Is this a true story?
This is 100% true.
Wow.
I didn't tag his name. I didn't, you know, all I said was Dwight Howard. I didn't at him or anything like that. Dwight Howard messaged me directly on Instagram.
During the game or after the game?
After the game.
Okay. I was going to say, when he went to the bench.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if it was during the game because he wasn't doing nothing.
So what was his response back?
All he said back was LOL. Like he was,
that's pretty cool, man.
I don't know if he was laughing with me or at me. I don't know. But we went back and forth for at least 2 weeks. And every once in a while, we'll still go back and forth. And if no one believes me, I'll screenshot it and send it to you.
Well, you need to LOL out to him or Instagram to him that he needs to listen to 2 Men and a Six Pack. He needs to check out this podcast because we're giving him a little shout out. So
yeah, I mean, I don't want him to listen.
Oh, you
don't?
Know?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, moving on. I really don't know what to say to that. So, my stud of the week, Jalen Brunson, point guard, Villanova.
Number 10?
Number 10.
Yeah.
He doesn't score, but no. Number 10's the white guy that can shoot.
Oh, number one.
Number one.
Yeah, gotcha.
You know, one game he may have 15, 18 points. The next game he may have four, but he may have 12 assists. The guy's a winner, man. He's not going to play in the NBA, but he's perfect. He is a, you know, and I'm just going to go ahead and say it. We'll break a little promise we made. Besides Joel Berry, he is a great point guard in college basketball.
Joel Berry's just the best in the world.
He's great. Both of them are great point guards, great guards. Neither one of them will probably play in the NBA, but Jalen Brunson is a winner, and that's why I think Villanova is going to win the national championship. So
Joel Berry can play in the NBA.
Okay. Again, we're agreeing to disagree on that one. So no jump shot. Dud of the week. Tell me your dud of the week.
Just for making that one mistake at the end of the game, for not fouling, I'm going to say Leonard Hamilton, Florida State head coach. Not for bad season. He had a great season. But with 11.1 seconds, only down four, you don't even foul. That's a dud play.
I accept that. I can see that. My dud of the week, and it's tied into someone we talked about earlier, my dud of the week is Tom Bowen, who is the athletic director at Memphis. As late as a month ago, Bowden declared head coach Tubby Smith at that time safe and in good standing. Last year, Tubby's first year there, they went 19-13, the Memphis Tigers basketball team did. This year, they went 21-13, didn't make the NCAA either year. So, you know, I guess that's maybe part of the problem, two-year cycle. I'm not a Tubby Smith fan. I mean, I think he's a good guy. I think he's a pretty good coach. But in 27 years of coaching, he's had two losing seasons. And that was his first 2 years that he was at Texas Tech. Mm-hmm. You know what he did with Texas Tech the third year? Took him to the NCAA. So I just think that Memphis was a little impatient. When you've got someone like Penny Hardaway in your community, a big Memphis Tiger legend, I mean, you know, kind of everyone sees him and, you know, gets excited. I just think that the athletic director and the administration for Memphis University pulled the trigger a little quick on Tubby Smith because he, from all accounts I can tell, he was at Tulsa, Georgia, Kentucky, Minnesota, and then Texas Tech. Seems to be a pretty good guy, a pretty good coach, and, you know, does things the right way.
Well, they all want a championship tomorrow. Yeah. Everybody wants someone tomorrow. It takes time. I don't know why they didn't bring Penny in like as an assistant.
As an assistant coach. If you're trying to keep your local homegrown talent there and utilize the influence, why not bring him in as an assistant? He has no head coach experience at the college level whatsoever.
Right.
And 1 year
at
the high school level.
Yeah.
So Big difference. We'll see what happens. All right, folks, the time you've been waiting for, this is the rapid fire section segment of the show. So Trevor's seen all the notes previous to this, and Trevor has no idea what we're going to talk about here. And this is rapid fire, so are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go. Who would you rather have leading the prayer for your team in the locker room during the historic NCAA tournament run and eventual Final Four appearance? Sister Jean or one of the Kardashian sisters?
Sister Jean.
Sister Jean, good answer.
Yeah.
Would you rather stroll around that campus holding hands and playing suck face with Sister Jean or one of the Kardashian sisters?
One of the Kardashian sisters.
Okay, well, I'm going to also tell you which Kardashian sister, and I also put Kylie Jenner in there. Which one of the Kardashian sisters or Kylie Jenner would you rather suck face with?
I don't even know their names. The one that has the most money, that's it.
Okay, all right, good deal. All right, next question. What is the percentage chance that former Michigan star Chris Webber will come out of the stands during the Final Four and call a timeout for the Wolverines, a timeout that they don't have?
You said percentage?
Yeah, what's the percentage of that?
25.
Okay.
That wasn't his fault, to be fair.
It wasn't his fault?
I mean, it was his fault, but you see the assistant coach tell him to call timeout, too, if you rewatch it.
So
it was his fault, but assistant coach was telling him to call timeout, too.
Okay, well.
Even though it gave Carolina a national championship.
Yeah, okay. So now that we're on Michigan, Chris Webber,
mm-hmm.
Can you name the Fab Five? All five members. I'll give you one, Chris Webber.
That was one of the easy ones.
Yeah.
Jalen Rose.
Okay.
Jimmy King.
Yep.
Juwan Howard.
Okay. The last one. The last one is the only one that did. The four out of five played in the NBA. The last one you haven't named is the only one that didn't play in the NBA.
That's why I don't know.
Ray Jackson.
Never would have guessed that.
Four out of five of those were McDonald's All-Americans. How many national championship championship games did the Fab Five play in?
Two.
Two. Do you know when they were?
Back to back.
Back to back. 92 and 93. Mm-hmm. Duke beat them in 92. The good boys in Chapel Hill beat them in 93. So, how many national championships did they win? Easy question.
Zero.
Zero. Good answer. Good answer. Now, how many college or NBA championships combined, college or NBA championships combined, did the Fab Five win?
Chris Webber has zero because he was with the Kings that got hosed. Jalen Rose, zero. And Juwan Howard got two with the Heat? One with the Heat?
Got one with the Heat, 2012. The point of this little exercise about the Fab Five, severely overhyped. Did they really ever in anything in life really ever accomplish anything except wearing really, 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 really long shorts?
They did have some long shorts. They started it, I think.
Yeah, I mean they were capris. Literally, they were. I don't know that they were shorts. I think they were. They may have been capris. But anyway, so now moving on. That wasn't rapid fire. This is the rapid fire. More overhyped. The Fab Five or Dwight Howard? I had that on my list.
Really?
Yeah. Who's more overhyped, Fab Five or Dwight Howard?
Dwight Howard. I hate him.
All right. More overhyped, Fab Five or Yao Ming?
Fab Five. Yao was good.
All right. He got hurt. He was hurt. More overhyped, Fab Five or Jeremy Lin? Like the seven game wonder.
I think Jeremy Lin was a little overhyped.
Okay. More overhyped, Fab Five or Reggie Bush?
Reggie Bush.
All right. More overhyped, Fab Five or Danica Patrick?
The tennis player?
Yeah. So I know who you think's more overhyped. No, Danica Patrick was a race car driver who, first female race car driver, legit, but has yet to win a race car, I guess it wouldn't be a match, a race car race.
Yeah.
So anyway. All right. True false. Messed up there. All right, Coach Harden.
Mm-hmm.
This is one I've been waiting to get to. Coach Harden, Living Water head JV basketball coach.
Mm-hmm.
With your impressive run and subsequent championship in the junior varsity basketball tournament for the Christian schools, how close are you and your team to running off 59 wins in a row like Tony Marshman at Northside High School?
Oh, we're on the cusp.
You are on the cusp.
We're right there.
Okay.
We went 8-7.
Yeah, but you won how many in a row to win the tournament?
Seven. Oh, four that day.
Four that day.
Three in the season that carries over.
Yeah, but in a row. So you're only 55 behind Tony's mark of 59.
Oh, we're on to something.
Okay. All right, good. True false. After you and your team had that historic run in the tournament, East Carolina contacted you and you interviewed for their head coaching basketball position.
They were actually there watching me.
They were scouting you.
Yeah.
Excellent.
They had nothing else to do, I promise.
Okay. Mentioned the Southland Conference earlier. Who was the Southland Conference representative in this year's NCAA tournament?
I have no idea.
Stephen F. Austin. Okay. Besides Stephen F. Austin, an incarnate word, can you name one other member of the Southland Conference?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Neither can I, and I looked it up. So. All right. Last question. NBA mock draft has Marvin Bagley III going as high as number two or as low as number five in the draft. Since we don't like Duke, let's just say he goes five. And he's going to go to the Sacramento Kings. And that's a wonderful, wonderful place for Marvin Bagley III. Question is, do you think Bagley can outperform the last great Duke legend that was drafted by the Sacramento Kings, one Bobby Hurley? Bobby Hurley, for reference, played six seasons, most of those with the Kings, one with the Vancouver Grizzlies at the time. Now they're the Memphis Grizzlies. Hurley's career stats in the NBA for his six on and off years: 3.8 points a game, 1.1 rebounds, 3.3 assists, and 6.2 crybaby faces per game. Do you think Marvin Bagley III can top Bobby Hurley's stats, career stats?
I think just off pure athleticism, he should be able to get at least 5 points a game.
Okay. This pains me to say, but the kid's a stud. The kid's a stud. I can really say it now because he's never going to play against Carolina again.
Thankfully.
Thank God. But the kid's a stud. He's good. I think the biggest thing that he's going to have to work on is playing defense because Coach K taught him no defense this year. Going to a 2-3 zone when you have those athletes, when you have that depth, that's just lack of willingness to want to coach a team. He just wanted them to outscore everybody and just had no desire to coach his team defensively. But beyond that, I wish Marvin Bagley III all the best in the world.
Yeah, he's going to be a beast.
Follow up to that question. I don't know if you're going to think I wish him all the best in the world after this question. Do you think Bagley will buy a motorcycle and proceed to wreck it and ruin his career like Jay Williams?
I don't think he's going to do that.
You don't? Yeah, I think a 6'11 guy being on a motorcycle will be kind of rough. So, yeah, Jay Williams was the best that never was and will never be. He's a great ESPN commentator, but the motorbike got the best of him.
He was a good player.
He was a good player. Again, the motorbike got the best of him there. So that's it for this week. One thing that we do want to introduce to you folks, we want to hear some of your feedback. So with that said, we want to know from you. We're trying to get some local, like a local angle, I guess, on this show. We want to hear from you. We want to know who you guys think are the five best coaches and or the five worst coaches in Onslow County of all time. This could be a pretty controversial topic here. Regardless, doesn't matter what sport, doesn't matter what era, but and we want you to rank them 1 through 5, and we want you to tell us why. Your responses will remain anonymous unless you just don't care and you want us to say, tell us, and you want us to tell us your name and you want us to tell the five that you think are the worst. We'll be more than happy to put your name here on the podcast. So we'd love for you to email us these answers at twomenandasixpack@gmail.com. That's twomenandasixpack@gmail.com. And we will hopefully get several responses. And next week we will reveal the answers. We actually kind of floated this out already to some folks that are pretty avid listeners and started getting some responses. So again, twomenandasixpack@gmail.com, five best, five worst coaches in Onslow County history, regardless of the sport. Rank them and tell us why, and we'll keep your name anonymous unless you don't want us to. So with that said, folks, hope you enjoyed the